Recorded live from the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Pelias Pecans.
Awesome!
The Soft Verbal Podcast, your ticket to the latest, most accurate Ole Miss football recruiting information. No spin, no false hopes, just facts from the recruiting trail from RebelGrove.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Caution, you are about to enter the no spin zone.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
God, here we go again.
Welcome to another edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. I am your host, Neil McCready. Russell Johnson of RebelGrove.com, our recruiting analyst, is here as always. We will get to Russell and some of your mailbag questions in just a moment. First, let me tell you about Billy's Pecans. It's never too early to plan for the holiday season, so get a jump start on your gift-giving list. Whether for business or family, Billy's offers gift towers, samplers, gift bags, and more to please every sweet tooth on your list. Now's the perfect time to line up your Thanksgiving cakes. Order Billy's Blueberry Pecan Coffee Cake or Cinnamon Pecan Coffee. They'll freeze beautifully until the big day. Order now and Billy's will ship your gifts on the date requested. Why should you choose Billy's for your holiday gifting? Well, one, they make it super easy. Email your list of recipients to gifts@billyspecans.com and they will handle the rest. If you want your logo on your gift, they do that as well. They even provide a complimentary gift card for you to express whatever you want to that special person. Go to their website at billyspecans.com to see what they have to offer. Their two most popular gifts for corporate clients are the Simply Duo and Party Trio, but everything you see is a perfect gift. You can order online at billyspecans.com, email at gifts@billyspecans.com, or call 1-800-624-7404. That's 1-800-624-7404. And Stacy or Bailey will assist with your gifting needs. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. The phone number is 662-257-1900. You call that number. You ask for Corey. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes. It's really that easy. There's no haggling. It's right to the bottom line. You get your quote. If you feel like you need to shop it around, you can do so, obviously. Or you can just let the people at who have ordered from Clark Ford, people who have bought from Clark Ford, let Clark Ford take the hassle out the way that they've done for so many listeners of our family of podcasts. And then if you want to make the deal even better, the end of your deal, right before you finalize everything, tell Corey Clark, say, hey, Corey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. You can mention the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Or, of course, you can mention the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Any of the above, $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory. So now, Russell, welcome into the show. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. I experienced MSU Mafia for the first time last night on my way home from Jackson.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was, it was about 30 minutes of just nonstop mentions and quote tweets and everything.
About what? See, I have muted most of MSU Mafia, so I no longer see it.
I learned the mute button very, very quickly last night. What happened was I thought somebody was trolling when they had asked a question based off of something I posted in the Nuggets earlier in the week. And he had asked a question about it, and I was like, how is a Mississippi State fan getting a hold of this premium content? So, you know, you would assume he was a subscriber, so I had quote-tweeted and said that he was a subscriber and that I thought it was funny and thank you for the money. And it just kind of went on from there, people calling names, and it was interesting. I didn't expect it to be as rampant as it was.
Yeah, they get pretty worked up.
Yeah, they get triggered quick.
It's been a interesting time for them, I suspect. Weird season.
You could say that again.
Weird season. Yeah. All right. So here we go. Kind of a coaching search question. William Faulkbear asks, have recruits voiced their opinion on who they think Ole Miss should hire?
Yeah, I would say that they have. They tend to lean towards the Frank Wilson and the Mike Norvell hires. though a lot of people, the more you talk about Pruitt with them, the kind of more excited they get. Obviously, with Norvell and Wilson, they have the ties locally, which goes into the second part, where he would be able to, either one of them, be able to use those relationships to help them with this 2019 class, which is growing by the day. Like, I was in Northwest Rankin yesterday, and they even have some 2019 kids that we don't even have rated yet.
So these kids that are mentioned, Nathan Pickering, N'Kobe Dean, Brandon Turnage, Dennis Jackson, Zach Edwards, those are 2018 kids, right?
Those are 2019 kids.
Okay. Shows you how much I'm keeping up with recruiting these days, which is the reason.
You love it.
The reason I do. Who's the best candidate to sign those guys? And but you can't make a decision based on
No, you don't.
That would be really foolish.
Pickering, Dean, and Turnage, those kids could not define a program, but they could change the course of a program over the next 3 or 4 years. But you don't hire a candidate just based off of them. Going off of relationships, I would have to say it would either be Jeremy Pruitt or Mike Norvell for those guys, because I believe Memphis has offered each and every one of them on that list, and he's in the state of Mississippi quite frequently. That's where the Mike Leach hire, the Chad Morris, the Cliff Kingsbury's, those would be very difficult. Not difficult, but it would be, you'd be setting yourself up with an extra step to take before you can get in the room with those guys.
You think Cliff Kingsbury would have an extra step to take? He wouldn't have name recognition alone that would get him in the door?
He would have name recognition, but I'm not sure, because Texas Tech doesn't normally recruit the state of Mississippi very much. As I recruit in these coaching profiles, these people love our subscribers. He doesn't recruit the state of Mississippi much, and it seems like he recruited almost exclusively his entire time at Texas Tech, the state of Texas.
All right, I'm going to play devil's advocate. Until recently, you were in Akron, Ohio.
Yeah.
Very recently.
Yes.
You've developed relationships all over the state of Mississippi in a short period of time.
Thankfully, yes.
But why couldn't Cliff Kingsbury?
That's true. That's actually a really good point. I mean, he would have to be...
I think it's Exhibit A, Your Honor, rest point.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that he would have to be doing it right now, but as soon as he expressed interest in the job, kind of maybe through back channels, kind of showing interest in, getting to know some of these coaches in Mississippi. I mean, there's quite a bit of talent in the state. I mean, it's not Texas or Florida or Georgia for that matter, but there's a lot of talent in Mississippi.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean, you're right. Yeah, building the relationships.
But if you're a good coach, you have people skills. If you have people skills, you can develop relationships anywhere.
True. Is he known as a good people person?
I would think.
Yeah, I mean, if he's stayed at Texas Tech that long, I think so too.
I mean, I don't know. I think the whole so-and-so has established relationships in X is really overrated.
True.
I think it's overdone. I think it's a lazy narrative on the part of fans. I think it's all that. All right, I'm going to ask you this question, then our producer Gus the dog has to be let out. So here's the question. He asked about Mike Leach being a realistic hire, not good or bad, but realistic. Can we get him? Would Ross Bjork consider? I'll let you give your thoughts on that, and then also, what kind of a recruiter is Mike Leach?
Mike Leach, he recruits the state of California fairly well. He's developed a national stage for Washington State. As you saw last week, they beat USC. And as much as people will say that kind of was set up for USC to lose that game, Leach really capitalized on the opportunity he was given. Now, in terms of the ability for Leach to get 4 and 5 stars to consider Ole Miss were he to come, that would be something that I would have to wait and see. I know he has picked up some very talented wide receivers in his short time at Washington State. Got quite a few freshmen making an impact early on this season. And that would be something that to look forward to at Ole Miss, because, as you know, Ole Miss gets a lot of the wide receivers and they tend to have a pretty good set at that position.
All right, so Reb Talking 18 asked what I think is a really good question. One of these bottom line, let's cut through the platitudes and the BS questions. I like these questions. He says, what makes someone a, quote, dynamic, end quote, recruiter? Is it connections, personality, a mix of both? It's a really fair question.
It is.
What the hell does that mean? Oh, so-and-so's a dynamic recruiter. This guy's really dynamic. What does that mean? I've watched people who, frankly, are not very dynamic. Dan Mullen is not a tremendously dynamic person.
No.
He's a really good football coach. He's a really smart guy. But he never strikes me as particularly dynamic. He strikes me sometimes as a little bit arrogant. I get it because I'm kind of that way too. He's a little condescending sometimes. A little bit of, why am I having to be in this room? I get all those things. None of that makes him, quote, dynamic, yet he's recruiting pretty well. I'm using him as an example. Nick Saban's never struck me as overly dynamic.
No.
He recruits his ass off.
He does.
So what is it? What does that mean, and does it matter?
Well, in terms of a head coaching candidate, I'm not sure that it matters as much as people are trying to make it out to matter. Going through the state-by-state breakdowns of these coaching candidates, you realize that a lot of them have connections all over the place. When I use the word dynamic, when I'm talking about a recruiter, usually I'm talking about somebody who has relationships with I wouldn't call it the black market, but has relationships with the people that they need to have relationships with when it comes down to it and getting the job done. You know, the day before signing day, they know who to call to get the job done.
Do you watch Friday Night Lights?
Clear eyes, full hearts can't lose.
All right. We'll take a little break from the seriousness of this Ole Miss recruiting stuff. My boy, I think this is Rob Cassidy. It is. I like Rob a lot. Rob's a good friend. Rob ranks some of the prospects on Friday Night Lights in his latest piece for Rivals.com. He's Rob's rankings. See if you agree with this. If you've never watched Friday Night Lights, you should. If you have started Friday Night Lights and you haven't finished, spoiler alert, but good grief, it's been years.
I was so mad when they canceled that show.
Junior Silverio, the linebacker, what do you think he should be ranked as a prospect?
I'd go 3-star.
Rob gives him 5 stars.
5?
Yep. Points out that he almost single-handedly beat a loaded Dillon team, completely shut down the offense until the game's final play.
Oh, he did. He did. I'll give him that.
All right, J.D. McCoy, the quarterback at Dillon and then at Mystery School. What do you think?
That's a 4-star.
Yeah, 4-star quarterback.
Typical dad in recruiting, let me tell you. Typical quarterback's dad in recruiting.
Yeah, he writes that McCoy has the physical tools, but the mental aspect of his game needs work because of the side effects that come with having an overbearing football parent. McCoy lights up the camp circuit, has impressive junior-senior film, but never quite gets the offers to match a sky-high talent level because of his dad's heavy hand with college coaches. Good point.
That's a great analysis. I mean,
Ray Voodoo Tatum, the quarterback at Dillon and then West Cambria.
Ooh, Voodoo Tatum. I'm going 3-star, low 4-star.
Given 4 stars, a true dual threat, Tatum is one of the most exciting prospects in the country. The fact that he's attended 3 high schools in 4 years, combined with the recruiting scandal and a public spat with Coach Eric Taylor at Dillon, hold him back when it comes to the ranking. He's viewed as a risk-reward prospect.
He thought a lot about this. He must have sat back and rewatched the whole series.
Here's the controversy. Tim Riggins, the fullback at Dillon.
Oh, Tim Riggins.
He rates Tim Riggins a 2-star fullback. Says Riggins lacks elite size and has a list of off-field issues a mile long.
Yeah.
He shows college-level skill and flashes and is considered one of the toughest players in his state.
I'd give him 3 stars. Reagan's did have the off-field problems, but as we've seen even in the state of Mississippi today, if you can play, they'll put the off-the-field away and they'll let you play.
Yeah, Riggins had lots of issues off the field. He really did, but he was a hit with the ladies.
He was, always.
Yeah, had a lot of flow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Always was jealous of guys like that because if I could have had flow, might have been a different deal. I don't know. Never know. All right, Back to Reb Talking 18, who has another question. He says, follow up, just because someone's a dynamic recruiter as it pertains to a school like UTSA, obviously we're referring to Frank Wilson here, does that necessarily mean that it would transfer over when trying to recruit 4 and 5 stars as opposed to majority 3 and 4 stars? Just trying to get a sense of how that works, because it'd be crazy to assume that there wouldn't be a drop-off.
I'm not sure if he knows the history of Frank Wilson. Frank Wilson was... He's been at Ole Miss. He's been at LSU. He's been in the room with the 4 stars, the 5 stars, the parents, the handlers, the boosters. He's been in the room with everybody. I don't know if he was thinking more so the rest of his staff. I'm not sure too much of Frank Wilson's staff that he has currently assembled at UTSA would come to Ole Miss. Not saying that he would be keeping all kinds of assistants and coordinators at Ole Miss, but he's got relationships and he knows a ton of people from his time at Ole Miss, at LSU, and everywhere else he's been. So to base that off of what he's saying is kind of not irrelevant, but it doesn't really work, because he's been in the room with the 4 stars, the 5 stars. He knows the people.
Yeah, I'm not sold one way or the other on Wilson, honestly. If I were putting together my list, I think he'd be down the list a bit.
I'd put him in the top 7.
Yeah, maybe. I'm going to be honest. If it's me conducting the search, and it's not, but if it's me, I'm going after big fish.
Yes, you make the big fish say no.
I'm making a lot of big fish say no.
Yeah,
I'm not in a rush.
No.
If I don't get anything done until the second week of December, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not panicking. I'm not worrying about the 2018 recruiting class. I'm not giving that one thought. The 2018 recruiting class and the quote, oh God, the early signing period. But Neil, the early sign. No, I don't care. It's over. I'm waving the white flag on 2018.
I'm not sure if the current staff has done that, but they're pretty close to it.
Well, let's face it, the current staff's probably not going to be there.
Right. But they sent out their first 2018 offer in like 3 weeks to a month last night to a wide receiver committed to Minnesota from Georgia. It was out of the nowhere. I'd never even heard of him.
They're in a really tough spot.
Yeah.
Those guys. And I say that people get kind of angry. I'm not saying that they're bad coaches or anything. It's a bad set of circumstances. It's a difficult set of circumstances. I'll be surprised if many of those people are still at Ole Miss in 2018, and it's not because they're not good football coaches. It's just sometimes a situation finally runs to a point where change is necessary, and I think that's probably where they're heading. We'll get back to the mailbag in just a minute. The podcast is brought to you by Fidelity Mortgage agent John Benelli. John's been in the mortgage business for 13 years. Has extensive experience in conventional loans, FHA loans, USDA rural development loans, VA loans, and bond loans. I've known John for years. I've known John for 20 years. John's a great guy, very conscientious. He's going to work hard for you. He specializes in home mortgages and loan services in the Jackson-Flowood area, but he can service the entire state of Mississippi. From condos in Oxford to vacation homes on the coast, all points in between, contact John at fidelitymort.com. That's fidelitymort.com. Or at 601-842-9764. Fidelity Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 1039190. The podcast also brought to you by the Storage Acquisition Group. Storage Acquisition Group is an industry-leading expert at identifying and acquiring strategically located storage facilities throughout North America and beyond. As the preferred buyer for one of the largest owners of self-storage in the world, Director Monty Spencer and his team have upended the acquisitions market by giving facility owners a new avenue to divest. How exactly can self-storage facility owners benefit? Simple. The group buys direct and charges no commission or fees. Their free, no-obligation evaluation even means that you can get a comprehensive picture of your property's value without the need to commit. If you're thinking, yeah, but I don't own a self-storage facility, I was just enjoying the podcast. Well, listen to this. Even if you're not an owner, you can benefit too. The Storage Acquisition Group's buyer has a generous referral program in place for referrals that lead to a closed transaction. Visit www.thestorageacquisitiongroup.com to find out more. All right, back to the mailbag. Is there a name for the stuff old people get between their toes when they go walking while wearing black socks? No. But it's there. A lot of that just depends on the type of shoe you're wearing, I think. If you wear quality shoes, your socks seem to benefit. If you wear bad shoes, your socks take a beating. This is brought to you by me and my sock wearing experience. What are Kroots saying about, speaking of Benelli, John Benelli asked the question, what are the recruits saying about Ole Miss after the last two games?
They're a little bit concerned. Obviously, with the instability and everything going on and really not knowing what's going on past the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving night, the uncertainties are kind of starting to weigh on the minds of a lot of the recruits, especially the ones currently committed. A lot of the ones from outside of the state of Mississippi are, you know, kind of starting to look around a little bit more than they might have been 2 weeks ago before these two games. It's going to be really interesting to see, based off of how they do on the field this weekend, if that elevates again, because it's elevated the past 2 weeks quite a bit.
Is the staff staying in contact with guys?
Current commits?
Just in general.
Yeah. Oh, yes. They're constantly talking to guys, texting guys. Even 2019 and 2020 kids they're reaching out to.
I give them a lot of credit inside the program. I heard people talk about the Alabama game. Oh, they quit. You know what? I didn't think they did. I didn't think there was any sign of quit. I thought they played hard throughout. I think this staff has worked hard throughout. Now, that's going to be a challenge as October rolls along.
Yes.
If Saturday goes badly, if next Saturday goes badly, at some point, people are human. And you start thinking about, hey, what's next? What are we going to do?
Where's my family going to go? Yeah. Who's going to put the food on the table?
These guys are going home and their wives are saying, so what's the deal? I mean, you know, there's real life that happens. But to this point, I think they've worked really hard. It hasn't worked, and it's not their fault, but they've worked really hard. C. Strand wants to know, Russell, what is the weight on the staff offering Trace Clopton? If he is a package deal with other players Ole Miss is actively recruiting, why not pull the trigger?
Do you know who Trace Clopton is?
He's a country music performer. he sings a song, My Truck Won't Work, But It's Fun Anyway.
Trace Clopton, he's a center for Brookhaven.
Oh, actually, that was my next guess.
Yes. He's
My Truck Don't Work, But It's Fun Anyway.
I saw Trace yesterday. He's going to be in the Miss Al game mm-hmm. in December.
Yeah.
Ole Miss is just still waiting. I think it's going to be the new staff that ends up pulling the trigger. Obviously, Sean Rawlings, he's a senior, correct?
Sean is not a senior.
Oh, he's not a senior. What is he?
I think Sean's just a sophomore, maybe a junior.
Really? Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, they do still have a spot behind him, I'm sure, with Eli's injury and everything.
They have room for offensive linemen.
Yes. I mean, yeah, you always got room for the big nasties.
Sometimes you have to wait to see a situation like this. This is, again, one of the reasons why the Ole Miss job is an iffy deal. There's a lot of wait to see. What are the scholarship limitations? Mm-hmm. Are you down to 16 this year, 14, 19? What's the number? Because,
that's what they keep.
You normally sign 25. If you can only sign 16, well, you have decisions to make on how you cut those nine.
Right. You're not going to take two tight ends or anything like that.
You might not take somebody who can only play center.
Right. Yeah. But the Brookhaven thing is that Trace will tell you up and down. He'll tell anybody who will listen that if he gets the Ole Miss offer, he's going to Ole Miss and he's taking Jeffrey Johnson and Jamorian Jones with him. And if they don't offer Trace, I'd say Jeffrey probably ends up at Mississippi State, and I would have to guess that Jamorian Jones also ends up at Mississippi State.
You have to admit, Trace Clopton sounds like the name of a country music singer.
It does. It does. Look, the more I look at it, the more I kind of think about listening to The Highway on XM Satellite Radio.
I'm not a country music person, but every so often I'll flip to that. There's a couple of country music people that they're okay.
Tolerable, yeah, they're good.
Trace the next time you talk to him that I said if this football thing doesn't work out, he needs to go into country music.
I will. I'll let him know.
Just tell him I said so.
Neil McCready.
And then when it works out, years from now, when he wins a Grammy for Best New Country Music Vocalist, and he goes up there, tell him when he walks up to the stage in Nashville and he gets his award and he goes, oh man, can't believe this, unbelievable dream come true. So many people to thank. I know I see you back in the back. I don't know how much time, but let me start here. Neil McCready told me to get into this years ago. I thought, what the hell? But I did. And I wrote the song about my truck, and you know the rest. And woo! Yes! Party tonight in Nashville. See ya.
That sounds just like Trace.
See what I mean?
Yeah, it would be nice.
So when it happens, and this all comes full circle, you're going to be like, holy hell.
Yeah, we can get him to redo that John Deere song that I guess was in the background of my Jalen Reed interview.
Yeah, the John Deere fade. John Deere green faded out. All right. All right, it's scandal time here on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. P. Willie 43 wants to know, can you share some of the rampant rumors about James Williams and the reason Ole Miss should avoid Callaway High School this year? Well, I am putting on my oven mitts right now.
So, first off, the Callaway kids, you got Malik Heath, you've got Kobe Love, and you've got James Williams. Each of them are very talented on the field, but off the field, there's quite a few questions with each of them. I know with Heath, he really wants to see the field, and then there's also some other stuff off the field. With James Williams, the defensive end who recently committed to Mississippi State, there's been a lot of questions in the past couple weeks, actually since the beginning of the season, about his age and whether or not he should actually be on the field, which has also kind of furthered that with the Miss Al game roster yesterday being unveiled, and he wasn't on that, and he wasn't on the North-South game either. So it's definitely something that's picking up some steam, and it's kind of
people
emerging.
Would see that and say,
Yeah.
Is he too old to be on the field?
It should be, yeah. I'm still learning the Mississippi rules, but if what I've heard is true, yes. I mean, it's not like Callaway's out being world beaters. They're 2-5 this season, so not really sure what they're thinking in terms of that, if that is true.
If they were 6-1, it would be an issue.
People would be looking into it. It would have already been leaked. When you're 2-5, I mean, they're kind of like, yeah, okay, you know, you might be 21 years old, but here, go ahead. You can play.
Interesting. All right. Cujo Reb asked, would it benefit Ole Miss for recruiting the in-state 19 and beyond classes for Dan Mullen to move on and force a new coach to establish relationships, even though the new coach may be a better recruiter, or for Mullen to stay and Ole Miss to recruit against him? I can answer that.
Yes.
Ole Miss would
almost pay Dan Mullen to leave Mississippi State right now with the momentum him and his staff have. It seems like once a week they're picking up a new 2019 commit. They've got DeJuan Black, who at one point was an Ole Miss lean. They've got Charles Moore, the kid from Louisville, who's still rehabbing from his surgery he had. I mean, they have the momentum in 2019 and 2018 for that matter. They're going to probably pick up a safety from Alabama. He's a 4-star in the next couple of weeks. So
he's done a great job there.
Yeah.
He's
amazing
done a great job
the people
there.
He gets to come to Starkville.
He's done a tremendous job. C. Strand again says, I know it's early, but have you heard of any 2019 Mississippi recruits talking about committing as a package deal to a school?
You could see Jerrion Jones, Brandon Turnage, and maybe a few others end up at the same place. But really, those two are the closest to a package deal you get.
As a rule, package deals fall apart.
Yeah, and the Horn Lake trio, obviously, with N'Kobe Dean and Tyler Grimm and Radar Jones, but other than that, no, there really hasn't been too much talk about that, especially in the 2019 class. I mean, you got a whole year.
Grind City Rebel asks, over under 9.5 JUCO signees in this year's class. Surely under, right?
You better hope so. Ole Miss fans better hope so. I mean, if you're signing 9.5 JUCOs, over or under, anywhere near that.
On a class that's probably going to have 18-ish scholarships, I mean, that's program suicide.
You might break the top 65 in the Rivals rankings. That's about it.
Orange Beach Reb asks, do any of the offensive recruits mention / pay attention to Longo's struggling offense?
They do, but at the same time, they don't really think it matters. They don't think Longo's going to be there. I mean, even if, God forbid, somehow the whole staff stayed besides him, There'd be a whole new offense. Well, not a whole new offense, but he wouldn't be there, and things would change. The quarterback position is where people are kind of starting to question and kind of figure out, because the final score last week was 66-3, and yes. Shea Patterson was still playing in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
Are you redshirting the JUCO kid? Are you redshirting Alex Faneuil? You can't put him out there to hand the ball off?
I don't know. Those are all good questions. I don't know the answer to them. KJ Reb says, can Ole Miss flip any in-state recruits this year with a good hire like Neil Brown? Also, if Mullen leaves state, who would be Ole Miss leans if we hired a good coach? Only a one-year bowl ban with current scholarship reductions implied.
If Mullen leaves Mississippi State,
yeah,
the entire Mississippi state of Mississippi for 2018, 2019, and beyond is wide open. Who Ole Miss hires at that point wouldn't matter as much as it would the final sanctions in terms of the NCAA. He says a one-year bowl ban. Ole Miss could capitalize on that pretty quickly. It wouldn't even matter if they hired a coach before Mississippi State did or anything like that. There's quite a few commits that Mississippi State has right now who are, I wouldn't say on the fence, but they've been looking other places. As you heard recently, Jalen Reed is going to visit Oregon. He's going to visit Ole Miss. You've got Malik Heath still looking everywhere, Florida State, Tennessee, LSU. You've got Fabian Franklin from Hattiesburg, who's still looking at LSU, still thinking about Georgia. I mean, there's rampant speculation about the Mississippi State class, which is why, I guess, apparently they reach out to every Ole Miss commit once a week, every one of them. They might not even have them on their radar. They might have never even offered. And they'll reach out, they'll see how things are going, and invite them to a game. That's it. It's just that simple.
Last thing, Joe Bob says at the end of the season, he would like for you to give him and the other listeners of the podcast your favorite town you visited and the best game you saw. It could be arranged.
Yeah, I could definitely do that.
So along those lines, where are you going tonight, this weekend? What's the plan?
Tonight, Lewisburg is playing Lafayette at home. I'm going to head out there to see if maybe Hakeem Vance will touch the ball more than twice.
So the game's in Oxford?
Yeah.
At Lafayette? Okay.
Yeah, that'll be a Thursday night game. It should be pretty nice.
Oxford has homecoming tonight, too. Who does Oxford play?
Your guess is as good as mine.
I don't know. Somebody.
Yeah.
I should know because I tweeted, oh, it's DeSoto Central, because I tweeted at DeSoto Central's dance team and was asked by someone at Oxford High School to please take it down because they didn't want to create any bad blood between the dance teams.
Really?
And I said, are you serious? Okay.
Was that a phone call or an email?
It was a text.
DeSoto Central, they're
our world has gone insane.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody gets offended by everything.
So you're going there. Do you anything else this weekend, or is that's the extent of your travels?
I'm still thinking about heading to Alabama tomorrow to see Hewitt Trustful play Bob Jones in the Madison area.
Seems unfair for a whole school to play one person.
Yeah, but that game, Hewitt Trustful has at least 9 or 10, probably SEC players.
Bob Jones must be one hell of a player.
Bob Jones has Jaden Hill. He camped at Ole Miss in the summer, impressed, got an offer, kind of blew up from there.
So Bob Jones has Jaden Hill, but Jaden Hill just agrees to play under the name Bob Jones?
That's how it goes. Everybody has the last name Jones on their jersey.
It's incredible. That is so wrong. All right, well.
I mean, you still got, Robert E. Lee High School?
Why can't Bob Jones be Jaden Hill? Why does Jaden Hill have to be Bob Jones?
If Jaden Hill keeps playing the way he has, they might rename the school.
Okay. Fair enough. A reminder, you can order online at billyspecans.com. You can email at gifts@billyspecans.com, or you can call 1-800-624-7404 and let Stacy or Bailey assist with all of your gifting needs from Billy's Pecans. I had several of different products from Billy's Pecans. I made the mistake of letting my kids near the samplers, and now they're gone, completely gone. That's what you get for having kids, and then that's what you get for letting the kids see the products. But they loved them, so you don't have to take my word for it. You can take Campbell's and Caroline's and Carson's word as well. It's awesome stuff. The holiday season's getting near. check out billyspecans.com. Thanks to Russell. Our thanks to me. Our thanks to Rob Casty. And we'll be back next week with another edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. Until then, take care.